Even better than talking to Greg Humphreys, listening to him sing. He's got one of my all-time favorite voices. This is perfect. Just a little bit of gravel in there. Great soul voice. And he'll be performing at that music fest along with a lot of other great acts that I love, that other people love. Chatham County Lines, Mipso, American Aquarium, Steep Canyon Rangers. There are
Mountain Goats.
Mountain Goats, yeah. I don't even have the list in front of me. I just know those are the ones that I've read and remember and look forward to seeing. The big thing that you hope for that you can't control, this is the got to be the most terrifying thing about putting on a festival, right? So you can do everything right. Plan it perfectly. Get everything right. Get everything in the right place. Be perfectly organized. Be on top of everything. And the weather might just decide not to cooperate, right? You could get storms and mess things up, or you could get heat. In North Carolina, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, it might get a hurricane at some point. But right now, I don't think it looks too bad. We had kind of a sticky week about a week ago. This week's been a lot better. So we were hoping for good weather this weekend for the first ever That Music Festival. We'll talk to Greg about playing the festival. One thing that I saw last night, there's a Twitter account called Umpire Auditor, I think I have that right, or Audit Umpire. And it's one thing that I've clamored for. Last night, an umpire had a record number of missed ball or strike calls, right, according to the auto thing. And some of them were bad, like pitches way off the plate. They called them strikes, whatever. I'll tell you a little bit later why I think this is actually a good thing. Not necessarily that he made all the wrong calls, but that we know he made the wrong calls. And I'll explain why a little bit later. But right now, let's talk to one of the musicians you will see this weekend at That Music Fest. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm filling in, and they weren't like, Hayes, you're filling in, but you got to do a promo segment with the guy. I decided I want to talk to this guy because I'm on the radio this week, and I get to hear him this week at Durham Bulls Athletic Park. He is a North Carolina native from the Triad area in Winston-Salem, which we are on right now. Now he lives up in New York. He's fronted several bands and played solo. This weekend he plays with Dylan Fence, and it's going to be a good time. Greg Humphreys, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well, Hayes. Thanks for having me.
Playing a festival versus playing a regular concert. I know you guys sort of cut your teeth on the college scene where, like, maybe somebody plays before you and then you play, or maybe you're opening for somebody. It's just, you know, two bands on the bill. You may play for an hour. A festival, there are, I forget, over a dozen bands, somewhere close to like 20 or something playing. You've played festivals before with several different bands. Is there a difference between playing a regular show versus a festival show?
Well, I guess with a festival show, you're throwing your equipment up there and you don't really get as much preparation time as with a show where you're the only act playing, or maybe there's two acts.
Sure.
So it's a little there's a little pressure built in, but it's also exciting because there are other great acts that you get to catch. Festivals are really some of the only times you ever get to see other bands because you're always working.
That was one of my questions is, do you, you know, and obviously you got to do your work, and it's not like you can just walk up on stage and without thinking about it and get your job done. And when you're done, you probably need a little time to compress. So I don't assume that you're just like any other fan who's like, oh, time out, I got to go play for 30 minutes, whatever. But do you get a chance to enjoy a music festival when you're there and actually take in the other acts?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you're burned out and you just want to go rest. But at most festival shows, I almost always catch somebody that I've been wanting to see or haven't heard of. And it turns out I love their music. You know, that's a pretty common occurrence at a music festival.
Yep. Greg Humphreys joining us. He will be playing with Dylan Fence this weekend. Tickets for the show are at thatmusicfest.com. You can also check out greghumphreys.net and always see where he's playing, where to watch him, and how to support him. How did you decide music was going to be a career? Because to me, that's even if you know that you're talented and you know you're good, and maybe you have seen crowds and even maybe a little bit of revenue before you decide to go all in, you know, when you're just doing it for the fun. How did you decide, no, I'm going to take the big step and say, this is what I'm going to do for my career, not just as a thing on the side. This is where I'm following my passion, not only to do it for fun and as I love, but to do it to support myself.
Yeah, I don't think it was a conscious decision. I think it was a decision that was made in little ways along the way. the bass player, Chris Good, and I played together in a high school band at R.J. Reynolds High School. And then I met Ken Alphen at University of North Carolina, and he and I shared an interest in songwriting and had some of the same touchstones as far as music we liked. And so I brought Chris from Winston-Salem, and he was going to Wake Forest. We were going to UNC. And so we started playing on the weekends in college, and it was a for fun thing. It wasn't meant to be the path we were going to take, but the more we did it, the more we enjoyed it, and we built up an audience. And then when we graduated from college, we thought we'd give it a shot and see if we could make a run as a professional group. And we got a record deal and ended up touring for a few years. And when that run was over, I decided I wanted to keep going. And I just have so much passion for playing music. And once you've had a taste of making a living playing the music that you write, it's hard to walk away from that, 'cause just songwriting is such a pleasure for me. I love to do it, so I'm trying to keep that going if I can.
That actually leads perfectly into my next question. Greg Humphreys of Dylan Fence, Hobex, Greg Humphreys Electric Trio, and all his solo stuff. He'll be at that music fest with Dylan Fence this weekend. How do you write a song? I am a decently musical guy. Grew up in a musical family, so had it around me. I do song parodies, so like the song is written, and I sometimes think I can do clever lyrics to change them. Oftentimes I do sports stuff.
Yeah.
But with a blank slate, it is just, it's tough for me. Like, and I can play music by ear. Like, it's so irritating. Like, I think I could do things, but to create a melody and words, and what's one of the cool things about the pandemic was so many artists, including you, started turning to the virtual stuff. So you would put out, hey, here's something that I'm working on, and you would see, you know, the parts of a song, the beginning of a song, and then you'd see it kind of grow. And you talk about just loving the craft. And I've heard other songwriters talk about you working with them hey, here's how you do a bridge or whatever in this piece you're missing. So that's a skill you own. And maybe it's as abstract as asking you, how did you choose music as your career? But how do you write a song?
Well, I think songs first and foremost are a form of expression. You know, and it's like one of the oldest forms of communication we have. And for me, you know, there's an art to it. There's a craft to it. But for me, it's a way to express myself. And a lot of times songs come to me when I'm feeling something very strongly and I have some time to play guitar or I'm walking and singing a melody in my head, but usually it has something to do with what's going on, and maybe feeling inspired to make some music. And sometimes it can be an expression of happiness, sadness, but then there's also the craft of it, which is deeper, you know, storytelling, originality, not just rewriting something else, taking things that inspire you and melding them and creating something new. You know, those are the kinds of things that all go into songwriting. But it is as simple as expression when you come down to it, you know.
Is there a you mentioned some of the ways it can happen and some of the muse, and I hear expression and feeling a lot, and can see how that comes out in your music. Is there any typical pattern of, like, I got a tune in my head and then I start putting words to it, or I jot down?
Well, you know,
go ahead.
As a guitar player and a singer,
songs
come to me in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a chord progression. Sometimes it's a melodic idea. Sometimes it's a lyric idea, or sometimes it's a groove, you know, like I'll latch onto a groove that I like and want to write something in that with that feel. So, you know, those are kind of, there are a lot of different ways to end result.
That's awesome. All right, we are a sports show.
And also,
good.
You can co-write, you know, like
trio,
or with, you know, other musicians. You can bounce ideas off, and you know,
collaborate.
Come up with something that neither of you would have come up with on your own.
Yeah. Greg Humphrey's joining us. You can hear him perform this weekend with Dylan Fence as part of That Music Fest. We are a sports show. The last time I saw you play was a great show in Raleigh. You guys always bring out a great vibe. And it just happened to be that you kind of played a show right into a big basketball game. UNC played that night. I can't remember if it was to get to the Elite Eight or to get to the Final Four. I can't remember which one it was, but it was that weekend. And I imagine that's not the first time that you've played a big big game and then played a big show, and then there's been a big game after. Is there any other moment in your career where you remember sports sort of coinciding with your performance, whether it was when you were a college student or, I don't know, playing Europe or in soccer match going on next door or whatever? Is there any other sports crossover moment?
One thing popped into my head, but first I want to say how much fun it was to go out and watch the Carolina basketball team. I really just loved their run in the tournament. It was incredible. It was just so fun for a Carolina fan to be the underdog and to watch them just keep going. It was great.
Yes.
And but as far as like sports and music, I do remember one time. I was playing an acoustic gig in St. Simons Island, Georgia.
Okay.
And I was playing at a place that was also a sports bar. And I was playing during the last game of Michael Jordan's career, in the last game, like the seventh game of the last game of his whole career.
Sure.
It's like I'm trying to keep people's attention. And it's like one of the biggest sports moments ever, you know.
Right.
Oh, well.
Old
well, as we say in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, there you go. At least it was Michael Jordan. It could have been worse, right? It could have been losing out to somebody else that you would have cared. Like, I'm surprised you didn't put down the guitar and just watch the final moments yourself.
I was kind of watching, honestly, but I had to work too.
Greg Humphreys, also a dad now. I see that's a big part of your life. I'm sure that has been part of your songwriting. I mean, that's not new. You have been dad for a while, but I see that a lot of you sharing that, and I imagine that's worked into your songs. So congratulations on where you are in life. Congratulations on being able to still play great gigs. Pick and choose where you play. You're doing stuff up in New York. We love to see you back here in North Carolina. And folks here always support you and love when the band gets back together, literally. So thank you for the time today. Have a great show this weekend as part of the festival. And best of luck in all your future endeavors. We'll be following your work all the time and eating up when you lay it down, man. So appreciate it. And thank you for the time.
Oh, thanks, Hayes. And hope I get to see you this weekend, my friend. I appreciate your time.
We'll be
thanks
out there. We're just hoping for the temperatures and the like. Give us the low 90s. Low 90s. Nothing too high. Nothing too high.
Honestly, I haven't looked at the weather. Is it looking like it's not going to rain? Because that's good.
I don't see. Well, you know the North Carolina. The weather forecast every day is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like low 90s with a chance of thunderstorms. So it's always going to be a guess. But we're hoping it'll be perfect weather for another festival. And even I know there's some parts that are going to be air conditioned. A lot of shade out there at DBAB too, so should be okay. And obviously lots of water and stuff. Thank you, man, for the time. Have a great show. Tell the rest of the guys I said hello.
I will. Thanks.
Greg Humphreys, great dude. Again, check out his work, greghumphreys.net. And he's also on the socials too. Dylan Fence, Hopex, Greg Humphreys Electric Trio, still putting out music, and he plays solo gigs as well. And I've told him this before, ad nauseum, he is one of those dudes, and this is true of athletes, sports stars too. Sports stars like music stars can be somewhat aware of their presence. Like, you know, if you are playing a crowded arena and everyone is cheering your name, that you're having an impact, right? Or, you know, if a million people bought your record, that you have an impact, right? Or, you know, if you hit the final shot and you hear the place go crazy, and then they throw a parade for you, you are somewhat aware that you've had an impact on these number of people. But I've said this. I mean, Graham talked earlier about John Cena doing Make-A-Wish stuff for people. Even there, you get some idea because you see the person's face, right? But athletes who perform at the highest stage and bring joy to us watching them only through TV, or like lifelong fans that'll never see them in person or never meet them, much the same as musicians. I'm fortunate that I've met Greg and got to know him, and he's probably very nice to me when he's probably got a million people who he treats as good friends just because they've loved his music over the years. But those folks, once you get to a certain level, it's impossible for you to even be fully aware of the impact that you have. You are somebody's all-time favorite artist, or you wrote the song that somebody will use as their first dance song and you'll never know about it, right? And like, that's something, a memory that will be burned in someone's head, and you're like, yeah, I remember this song because it went number one, but you don't know that that was the song that somebody played at their best friend's funeral, right? Or whatever it might be. And for me, Greg and Dylan Fence and their music has been one of those, you know, in my life where I can't even fully explain, or he wouldn't be able to fully grasp all the different people that he's affected by, his ability to play great music and tell those soulful stories and songs that come from, as he said, his deep places of expression or feeling. So, and I know that runs true as a theme for a lot of these North Carolina artists that'll play this weekend. I'm going on a ramble now just because I get excited about the music. But David Minconi's book, Step It Up and Go, I know he'll be part of the festival, details people like that and how a lot of North Carolina artists are never the flashiest or the number one, but they were often the people that were, you know, innovators or influential of change, and that music wouldn't have existed in the way it did without some of these North Carolina artists never looking for glory or fame, but just expressing their feeling and their artistic expression through their music, and had impact and ripple effects greater than those musicians can ever know. So it's cool that we'll get to see a lot of those there this weekend. The fans voted, and they want us to talk Tonys!
Woo!
That's right. Ariana DeBose of Rally hosted them this past weekend. She was fantastic. Now, the big upset was that Music Man won nothing, and Rand was like, were they supposed to? I was like, well, no. By the time the playoffs started. They were like the Brooklyn Nets, right? When you heard that you were putting Music Man, Hugh Jackman, and Sutton Foster all together, that was like Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. And instead, they got nothing. They didn't win Best Revival because you knew Company was going to take that. They may be making buku bucks, but they won nothing. They're the Brooklyn Nets of Broadway, and that's me talking Tonys for the Voters' Choice.